Hello and welcome to another edition of the Spodcasters. I'm Matt Tate, KU football beat writer here at KUSports.com, and I'm joined by our sports editor, Tom Keegan. We're here to talk about this week's Kansas football matchup at TCU Saturday, 11 a.m. Tom, it'd be real simple to say, hey, what happened in that Texas Tech game? What went wrong? All that stuff. We could spend 4 hours probably trying to talk about that. No real reason to look back, though. Do you get the sense that KU has moved on past that game?
I don't know. They didn't move on past the one bad play in that game, the really bad play, the punt. So, I don't know. That's a hard one to move on from. But TCU plays a totally different style from Texas Tech. Texas Tech wants to snap it within 15 seconds. TCU is more conventional. TCU is a more physical football team. So, in that regard, it does enable you to totally move on. It's just a totally new and different challenge. Every bit as tough a challenge, but a different one.
Let me ask you about that. I've been writing it all week. You just said it. I mean, and I think you're on the money. I mean, the numbers show that TCU is not trying to snap it 150 times a game, and they are physical, and they will try to get after you that way. But what I want to ask you is, does that, at some point, especially with this team and these last 4 or 5 years that we've been dealing with, does that at some point become, you know, sort of that easy thing you got to tie your ship to kind of make yourself move on? I mean, hey, that sounds good. This is a different thing. We match up better. I mean, do you think that's really the case, or do you think that's just a convenient, you know, thing that these guys can hold on to and hope is the case?
Well, I think it's easier to do it if because they're not just facing another Texas Tech type
team. Sure.
So I think what they are looking at on film will not remind you of Texas Tech. So I think that they actually will be able to do that.
This team has been sort of a mixed bag. Not just this team, but the last 4 years of Kansas football. Sort of a mixed bag after losses. You know, a couple of times after really bad losses, they've been embarrassed enough to bounce back and say, hey, we're better than that. And
North Dakota State followed by Georgia Tech.
There's a good one. I think last year, too, Oklahoma. I remember leaving Oklahoma's stadium down there thinking, talking to you guys, saying, I was going to pick KU against Texas next week. Now I'm not, because they were thoroughly embarrassed. I did end up picking them anyway, and KU almost beat Texas. So there's an even more recent one. So they've had those, but then they've also had the last year drubbed by Iowa State, embarrassed at home on senior night, followed that up with a complete egg at West Virginia in the season finale. So what team are you expecting will show up? The one that's embarrassed and fights and you know, tries to compete and show it's better than that, or sort of that beaten team that really has been here a lot lately?
I think that they can hang on to that first quarter against Texas Tech and try to mimic that. They at least have something to try to mimic.
Yeah.
They came out on fire. Ben Heaney was on fire, and his energy was contagious. So I think they'll come out with good effort. I just don't think they're good enough. They're not strong enough up front to handle a team like TCU. And they're just not a buttoned-up enough football team to expect that they can beat TCU.
Very interesting point was made this week. We only got to talk to the four captains. Usually we're able to request players. This week, captains only, which was fine. You know, four sharp guys that have a lot to say and represent the team. Keon Stowers made a good point. The offensive line's changed a ton this week. A new center, a new left tackle, a new right tackle. Talking about new center Gavin Howard, though, Keon Stowers said this guy's nasty, and he plays that way, and he goes hard, and he goes after the whistle even. He doesn't just go through the motions, and he said that's something you need up front. And when you look at a team like TCU, they've got five of those guys.
And I think the guards are nasty, Nalu.
Sure.
And Smithberg are nasty.
Yeah, so let's talk about the offensive line, because that's definitely one of the biggest stories with this team right now. Not only its struggles to this point, but also the fact that it's new this week. You've got Pat Lewandowski at left tackle, which was where they wanted him to play, you know, throughout the spring and really even into the offseason a little bit, or the summer. And then you've got Aslam Sterling on the right side now, where he played all last season. So is this just hope against hope, trying to figure it out, you know, rolling the dice, seeing how many guys you can put in how many places until one of them clicks? Or do you think maybe this group and its incarnation has a chance to actually be the one that clicks?
Well, here's where I would have liked to have more than the captains there. I would have liked to talk to Gavin Howard, and the first question would have been, have you ever snapped a ball live in a game before.
Right.
I don't think he has at Kansas. Had he ever in high school?
I doubt it, you know? Yeah. I mean, especially at that level.
He's probably your best tackle.
Athletes, yeah. So I'd be very surprised if he has, and I agree with you. That would have been an awesome question to ask him.
And I agree with you. The Keon Stowers is a great interview. Yeah. He really is a super kid. But it would have been good to ask that. And here's something that's a little unusual. Pat Lewandowski's going back to left tackle, and the reason he went to center, the reason he's going back to left tackle is Charlie said he's the best left tackle on the roster. The only reason he wasn't playing there is they moved him to center, and I think you should build an offensive line from the left tackle, not from the center position.
Totally agree.
That's the most important position, so that was a little troublesome.
Well, troublesome for two reasons. One, the fact that they did that.
Yeah.
Two, it shows you how glaring the hole is at center. You know, if they're going to take a, you know, frontline A-list guy from another position just to try to help that position. So, you know, I talked to Jake Heaps about it too, and he said, hey, Pat gave us all he could at center. He tried really hard. Of course he did, you know. And same with Dylan Admire. I mean, it's not a knock on those guys. It just comes back to what you said in the beginning. They're just not good enough. And, you know, sometimes that's the case, and particularly at a place like Kansas where you're trying to compete against these incredible teams every week, you know, you got to find better talent. So Gavin Howard, the things I like about him, other than what Stowers was saying about him being nasty, I like his experience. I like that he's a senior who's been out there in the trenches a bunch of times before. With different guys. I like the fact that his temperament is so even keel. You know, I mean, even in interviews where he's been a little excited or whatever, he's still pretty level-headed. So I would imagine that would be a good thing for the center to have. Ultimately, though, it comes down to physical play. I mean, is he physical enough to get it done?
He's a smart guy. There's no question. You can tell that interviewing him. So, and he is a calming influence type of guy, which that line probably needs right now. Now, does he have the stamina to get, as Charlie says, hit in the mouth on every play? After snapping the ball, then get hit in the mouth. It seemed like when he was playing at tackle last year, you would see him wear down a little as the game went on. Now, I wonder if Charlie will keep an eye on that and maybe, you know, mix in Dylan Admire here or there.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me in, you know, situational moments where, you know, maybe KU's a little more on the attack and they've got TCU on their heels. Maybe they're starting a drive at TCU's 37 or something. Maybe that's when Admire's in there. Whereas if they have it backed up in their own end, maybe that's when you have Howard in there. I don't know. I mean, no question that Howard's going to get the chance to go wire to wire, and if he can hold up, then that would be great news for KU. I also like the line because of Sterling at right tackle. I think it's awesome what he did, losing 100 pounds or whatever it was, you know, after he got here, reshaping his body. I mean, he does look like a completely different player, an athlete, as opposed to just a big body. But I think he's probably more of a natural right tackle. So if that's the case, and he did okay there last year, even in worse shape, if that's the case, maybe they got stronger at right tackle too, and if Lewandowski could hold his own over there on the left side, maybe they did improve with this move.
They might have, yeah, but then you get back to the question of why didn't they just go this way from the shoot, and why did it take so long to identify a center? I mean,
right.
You kind of knew what you had in Admire. He's not real strong at this point in his career. Maybe in a couple more years with Scott Holtzapfel, he'll be strong enough to not get shoved upfield 5 yards. And maybe you knew that, so maybe he shouldn't have been there. Maybe Lewandowski should have stayed at left tackle. And once Smithberg's snapping problems were identified, maybe they should have just gone right to Gavin Howard. But give him credit for doing it now.
Right, and that's one of the things that is also kind of become a staple of Charlie Weiss's time here. I mean, there are a lot of coaches that are way too stubborn to make all these moves and grasp for straws. He's not afraid to change things up at any point, anywhere, anytime. He's shown that last year with the running game and the commitment there. He's shown it this year already with the offensive depth chart being almost completely different you know, from where it was at the beginning. Another guy that bears mention here is Andrew Terzilli. I mean, it's a guy that hasn't been on the depth chart all season, and now he's listed as a first-string wide receiver. Are you buying that he's made progress, or is this a sign that these receivers are in bad shape, and it comes back to that, what I just said, grasping for straws.
And one great catch can get you all the way up to the top of the depth chart.
Especially in the end zone.
Yeah. I did think he was one of the more talented guys they had last year. He just didn't seem like he believed he was talented.
No question.
And maybe if he's made that step and shown that in practice that he believes in himself, maybe you've got a guy who's a decent receiver. Again, Justin McKay just remains the biggest puzzle on the entire roster. You know, every week I expect this to be the week that he does something, and he is a physical player, and TCU is as physical a team as you're going to face. Maybe this is the week that Justin McKay gets hit in the mouth, and that gets him fired up and ready to play some really good football.
It's almost going the wrong direction, too. I mean, no, almost about it, it is. I mean, he catches a touchdown in the season opener. Hey, look at that. You know, he still only had two grabs in that game, but it was a touchdown, and it was from a wide receiver around here. That was huge news.
Yeah.
And then the next week, a little worse, and then the next week, a little worse. And then last week, I know Special we talked teams. About this. Did you even notice him out there? I mean,
that much.
You
no.
know, one thing that I'm seeing, and I know a lot of people are seeing with the receivers, which is also another problem, it seems like they're having an awful tough time getting open. A lot of just vertical routes, a lot of just running down the field, almost in lanes, almost like a single file type of line situation.
Yeah, well,
you know?
What's wrong with some underneath routes, some crossing patterns?
And to be fair, they've done a lot of that with Tony Pearson and Brandon Bourbon. So maybe those guys are, again, I haven't coached football. I don't believe you have you?
No.
Yeah, so maybe those guys are running vertical routes to clear that space for Pearson and Bourbon. But I would think with an offense that's struggling to score points, you know, you would want to have some more action than that, especially to try to get some of these guys involved, because you're not going to win games if you can't get receivers to make plays. I don't care how good Tony is, how good Brandon is, and especially this week with Pearson sidelined. I mean,
right.
They're going to have Bourbon's going to have a career day for them to have a chance, and I believe he will. I think he's a gamer. I think he's
a talent.
The kind of guy that this team needs more of. Tough, physical, fast, not afraid, all that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does too. But the bottom line, we identified those two issues, offensive line, wide receiver. Let's talk real quickly about the defense. This is almost the polar opposite of the offense because the defensive depth chart has hardly changed a lick. I mean,
right.
The only reason it's changed this week is because of an injury to Samson Fafili.
Who may be a medical redshirt.
Which wouldn't be a bad thing at
right.
all. You know. So had he stayed healthy, he's still on the depth chart and it remains completely unchanged. So that's got to be a sign that the defense is playing well. If you can't see that with your own eyes, that's got to be validation at that point. Do you agree? I mean, are they playing well? Would you
yeah,
go that far?
And they do rotate in guys. So, you know, who's listed as starter, like a defensive line, doesn't mean maybe as much because they do a lot of
rotating. Oh, I'm talking one and two, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
The entire
right.
two deep is unchanged.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you're right. That's a good point. But
yeah, well, I think that the defense, like you say, you can see with your own eyes, the defense is way ahead of the offense. Those cornerbacks, Jacory Shepard and Dexter McDonald, that's the best cornerback tandem Kansas has had since Aqib Talib and Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to convince me otherwise.
No doubt. I agree.
And then you look at the middle linebacker, Ben Heaney, is obviously excellent. Kiba Agostino is a program guy who he's a senior now, and he's playing like it. He's a senior, not a junior.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he's playing like a senior. He's gotten a lot better. There's no question the defense is solid. You know, they didn't have a good game last week, but when you have 100 plays from scrimmage, you're not going to have a good game.
Well, and you're starting, you know, defending your turf immediately with, what, five drives from the opponent starting on your side of the field.
Yeah.
That's tough for any defense.
And they're playing at such a quick pace that you can't even sub, and they switch from all pass to all run, which is smart attack, but you can't even...
It was very smart because they caught KU with six D-backs on the
right.
field. I think Stowers told me even at a couple of points, seven D-backs on the
wow.
field, which... In the Big 12, that's the whole idea. That's the whole reason for the change in this defense is to put more fast guys that can cover. And you know, But you got to be able to make that adjustment. And when that other team's running the ball like that, running that fast, yeah, it's really hard to get subs in. So it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back. I tend to think the same thing you do. I mean, I think they'll have some pride and they'll show up a little bit in this one. TCU, 2-3, definitely don't let that fool you. Their losses are to LSU, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma. And they were in those games, you know. So
that's three top 20 teams.
Yeah, what is the – somebody said their combined record is 15-1 of those three right. teams. That's pretty good. And, again, to have been in all three games with a chance to win, that's scary good. I imagine they're looking at this opportunity against Kansas at home as a prime moment to get right and then make a run. So
and to pitch a shutout.
Yeah, yeah. Which last year, real close, 20-6 in Lawrence.
Yeah.
And it didn't even feel like KU got 6 points.
Would anybody be surprised if this were 20-0?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think so at all. I mean, there's a chance, you know, if they jump out to a 20-0 lead or something like that, that you can get some garbage time production, touchdowns, whatever. But haven't seen it so far, and again, with KU's offense struggling, I think until they prove they can score more than 13, 14, 16 points, you have to figure that they're not going to. So, you know, the defense will have to be at its best to have even a shot this week. For KU to have a shot, the defense is going to have to darn near pitch its own shutout. And
maybe even score.
Yeah, yeah. Something that's a whole nother podcast, but I think that would be something that KU would benefit from greatly. So one last thing, I think it was interesting that you did see Ja'Cory Shepherd returning some kicks last week, and he looked really good doing it. Any chance that we'll see more of that because of kind of what you just talked about? When the offense is struggling, you got to find places elsewhere.
Yeah, he did well at it, so I think we'll definitely see him doing that again, and who knows, maybe even seeing him mixed in at receiver.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
He's the last receiver they've had who had a 3-touchdown season.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, that would be something.
Unless Pearson does now, if you're going to count him as a wide receiver.
I think you have to.
Yeah, you do.
Well, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting, no question about it. TCU, very talented, very well coached, very physical.
At home.
Yeah. I mean, it may be a better matchup for KU than Texas Tech or Baylor or some of these fast-paced teams.
Baylor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything's a better matchup than Baylor.
Let me ask you that, too, before we go. It's not about KU, but Baylor at K-State this week. What's your take on that? I mean, is Bill Snyder the kind of guy that can slow something like that down, or is this offensive machine that we're seeing from Baylor too good for anybody? My personal opinion is that Baylor has a darn good chance to make themselves in position to win the national championship.
Yeah. Yeah, they do, because they're just that good. And I think that K-State's defense just doesn't have anywhere near the speed to stay with Baylor, no matter who the coach is. And I picked a 70-35 outcome, which isn't as bad a route as it sounds.
It's a lot of points, though.
Yeah.
I think I picked 55 and felt like I was pulling back on the throttle.
They're averaging 70 points,
yeah,
something, I think.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. I mean, it might not be the case when they come play Kansas, but they are fun to watch if you just like football and you just like offense. So keep an eye on them. I mean, the Big 12's a little bit down. They're going to have to win some pretty big games.
Well, the Oklahoma game is huge.
Yeah.
A great game, because Oklahoma's got a really good defense.
Yeah, yeah. And if they can get by that, they could definitely finish undefeated. And, hey, Alabama or not, I think this offense could compete with anybody. And I'm rooting for Baylor to win the national championship. I'll just put that out.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be awesome.
I mean, how many guys who really caught the axe of Art Briles and Nick Saban are going to be rooting for anybody but Baylor? Art Briles, just a nice
classic guy. Yeah. Yeah,
country
good point.
Boy.
Good point. Hard worker.
Yeah, all about Texas high school sports. He was a coach.
No nonsense type of guy. Yeah, I mean, he's fantastic. I always enjoy interviewing him, listening to him talk, even if I'm not interviewing him. I think he's a great guy, and that's a fun team. So keep your eyes on them, but we'll keep our eyes on Kansas football and their attempt to go down and make a game out of this TCU madness this week. So check out all our coverage at kusports.com throughout the day Saturday, and we'll see what happens. But thanks for checking out this podcast, and we will talk to you guys next time.